Shall we stand as we have our reading for tonight? It's found in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 14 through 19. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men, who rule this people who are in Jerusalem, because you have said we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line, and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you, for every morning by morning it will pass over, and by day and night it will be a terror just to understand the report. May God bless the reading of His Word. Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and pray, Lord, that you would speak through your word to each one of us. And Father, ultimately, that we might be encouraged to draw near to you. We pray for your blessing. Open our hearts to be receptive. We give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. All of you know that Israel this year will be celebrating its 70th anniversary of being a country. We know that just last week the embassy will be moved in May to Jerusalem of this year in correlation with the celebration. We know that countries are aligning around and many, many statements have been made. Things are happening in the world today. Many people feel that pressure. And I'm not here to increase that pressure. I'm here to tell you what God has for us and how He supplies our needs. As I think about Israel, we've named this and entitled it, Then He Shall Confirm a Covenant. The He is the Antichrist, and this is found in Daniel, and I'll just read the verse so you know it's in the 27th, just the first half of the 27th verse. Then He shall confirm a covenant for many, being Israel, for 1 week or 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. And we'll just stop right there, and that's all we're going to take in Daniel. But that sets the stage as we talk about Israel, the Antichrist, and the time that they're facing ahead. As I've studied, and you know that my calling has been, I believe, salvation primary, but also the end times. This is what I've been studying. This is what I've looked to God to give me understanding of what these end times are, because I feel there are so few that are telling what the Bible says. I'm just going to put it that way. The common message out there is we're going to miss everything. Have you heard it? We're going up before the trouble begins. I don't know how long we're going to wait and if that message will ever change. I sometimes wonder, but I want to preach the truth of God's word, and I want our people to understand, and I don't want any of us to be deceived, because the warning throughout God's word, and especially in the New Testament, is let no one deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. And I don't know if we'll get that far in our lesson. We're going to have two other portions I'm going to read from. One is going to be Amos chapter 9, and the other one's going to be Ezekiel chapter 38. And in a couple of minutes, I'll be there. But as we look at these verses, first of all, in verse 14, it says, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. This is my prayer that as people come into this church that they hear. Too long I taught school and I recognize that you don't always hear. But it's not school. It's those that are adults. We need to be challenged. I myself can listen and not hear. Have you been in that place too? And you don't focus. And I recognize how many times I've gone over Scripture. And, of course, that's the wonderful thing about Scripture, is that God will open your eyes as you're seeking Him. He will open your eyes, and the Scripture is always new. Now, this Scripture on Isaiah, I think I've written some 2,700 years ago, and it's just as up-to-date in telling us about times that we're going to be facing in the future, and probably not too far future. I just feel so many things as I look around the world, geopolitical, financially. I see the religious set, the wanting the oneness and the ecumenical type thing. We're all together, and oh, isn't that wonderful? It is if everybody's preaching truth. But you know, if we aren't taking and being led by the Holy Spirit in taking what the Word says, I find that the Bible says what it means and means what it says. And I don't have to put any other glasses on to try and interpret God's Word. I just believe what's there. I've believed it. I remember when the kids back in college used to tease me. They said, Dave, you just take what the Word says. Well, I can't remember what we were discussing. Maybe it was on the star at Christmas time or something, and what was it? Was it a part of a constellation, or, you know, they wanted to figure everything out. And I had been brought up to just believe the Word. I read it and I believed it. Well, I had a lot to learn. Never that I didn't believe the Word, but I recognized that if you're going to share with people, there's more in the Word that I should understand about. And then that day came where God called me into the ministry, and He changed me completely in seeking what the Word really was saying. Now, hear the Word of the Lord. We read from Daniel that there is going to be a period coming where there's going to be a covenant confirmed. Maybe that will be a peace treaty, or maybe it will be something that's already in existence that's confirmed. I tend to think the latter, because of the way the wording here is. Doesn't say a peace treaty will be signed, but a covenant be confirmed. I know and have a copy of a covenant, and this might not be the one, so I'm not saying it is, but some years ago, I had it here a few years ago and read it to you, but they made a covenant that Jerusalem would be their capital. And I can't remember what all was in it. And it was signed by the 70 top leaders at that time, and copies were sent out all over the world to the Jewish people to ratify it. And a year later, it was brought back, and that was confirmed as a covenant that they were standing on. Well, as I see our embassy moving in May, and as I see things kind of aligning themselves, there's several things, but as we look at this treaty, will we see it? I believe that we probably will if we're looking for it. But the confusion that's going to be during this time, and especially if some are telling us, well, that's not it, because we're going to be gone by that time. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when suddenly the Antichrist reveals himself in the temple and stops the sacrifices and sets himself up as God, and people begin to realize this is it. And we've been told. My heart goes out. But I know this is what the Bible says is going to happen. Many will be deceived. And so that's why we're discussing this tonight. And that's why the seriousness of the situation. We want those who are here to be aware of world conditions, not to be fearful. We'll see in just a few moments. Let's see what it says in verse 14. Hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people who are in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. Now, Isaiah has this word from the Lord. They are probably not saying we've made a covenant with death. They don't know that it's a covenant with death, but they have made a covenant, and it is with death. And so God is saying what it is. And Because you have said we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol, we are in agreement when the overflowing scourge passes through. It will not come to us. For we have made our lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Now, I would like to look at what this is really saying. They have a false security. They have a false security. They have signed a covenant. Now, no other nation that I know of in the world has had to look behind them for these last 70 years like Israel has. And actually, all their life. All the history of Israel has been one of persecution and falling and God, you know, having to admonish them and correct them and punish them and bring them into captivity and bring them back again, and they start out, and the history is just something to watch. Now, when we look at the history of Israel, we have to remember that as people, we are the same as they are. There is no difference. We are all sinful. We are all going downhill apart from the grace of God to capture us and to enliven us and to revive us and to draw us to Himself. Otherwise, we're in the same position. How many times do people today have a false security that because they go to church, I'm okay? Because they read the daily bread each day, I've done my duty. Unless they've had a real relationship experience with Jesus Christ, where their sins have been forgiven as they've sought Him, and as they're trusting in His shed blood for their payment and their willingness to follow Him. Apart from that, there can be a lot of just form, can't there? I tremble when I think of when the Bible says, few will find the narrow way. Few will find the narrow way. Israel has a time coming when they're going to be deceived. I'm going to read from Amos chapter 9 because I believe it's a portion that will be talking about the same, pretty much the same thing. And each time the prophet, as God gives the prophets a view of this time, we get a little added information. I'm going to just read 8 through 10, I believe. Amos chapter 9, 8 through 10. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful kingdom. I will destroy it from the face of the earth. This is verse 8 in Amos chapter 9. I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Yet I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says the Lord. Oh, I love God's mercy there, don't you? Now there's going to be a small remnant that are going to be saved. But you remember we had a message, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, that sin demands death. You remember that? Sin demands death. And if the people are sinning, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We have that all the way through. We had a full message on it. And so when God says, I'm going to destroy you, it's because of the sin. Yet we see in His mercy that there's going to be a remnant that are going to come through. We know in the New Testament, we find the same thing. All Israel will be saved, but we know that the majority are going to be cut off. Two-thirds will be cut off. That's in Zechariah, I think. And one-third will be brought through the fire. In Romans 11 and 12, it talks about that Israel will be saved. I'm going to look that up because I want to read that so you know. This is Romans 11, 25 and 26. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that hardening in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So their hearts are hard, their eyes are blind, and so all Israel will be saved. And you can go on. He says, and He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with him when I take away their sins. So God is going to miraculously come back, Jesus will, and will take His people, but it'll be a small part. And they'll follow Him, and He'll march them up finally to Mount Zion or Jerusalem. And the mountain's going to split, and He'll lead them to Azel and protect them. And we had a message on that couple of weeks ago how he'll hide them. Now that's not for the Gentiles. We aren't hidden. And that's interesting. He has given us much more than he's given Israel. We have the Holy Spirit who resides with us forever. And so it's important to know our position too. Back to Amos chapter 9, verse 8. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful kingdom. I will destroy it from the face of the earth, yet I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob. For surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations. Oh, I can just see God in the heavens when he says, sift them. Notice what it says. As a grain is sifted in a sieve, yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword. Now, even as we had a message on the wonderful plans, the ultimate plans of becoming God's completed work, remember we talked about how their eyes will be opened when the veil is taken off them at the wedding feast, and we talked about they'll see God face to face. They'll come to know as they are known. I mean, these are things that are hard to fathom. Well, in the same way, we see here God's plan for the unsaved. In other words, nobody is out of God's sight. That's what comes to mind as I read this. I praise God for his thoroughness because I want him to know where I'm at all times and keep me because I have trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to testify to others that he's my Savior and could be theirs if they're willing to accept. The invitation is still open. I think I had a message a few weeks ago. There's still time. The invitation is still there. Now, I'm going to start verse 10. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword who say the calamity shall not overtake us nor confront us. So notice, all those who are trusting in a false security will die. That's spiritual death. That's not physical death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So physically we all die. But spiritually, those who are trusting in a false security will die. This is what God has told Amos. Now, I'll just read 15 so you see the good part of this. Of that remnant, he says, I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. Now, he's going to bring them back. 14 says, I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. And 15, he will plant them in their land. Anything planted that's not by God will be rooted up. But when God plants them, it's going to be eternal. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes that Solomon writes, and he says, whatever God does, it's forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. God does it, that men may fear him. That's Ecclesiastes 3:14, I believe it was. So we have God working with his people. Now, false security, I can't imagine how quickly Israel will snap up at something after being on alert, high alert, for so many years, knowing that if they aren't first in taking care of themselves, they're going to be destroyed. Listening to the nations around them saying, we want to wipe you off the map. And literally they do that as they put out their maps, and Israel's not found on it. Actually, I heard the other day that, I can't remember what it was and who it was, but they had wiped Easter off the map of their calendar. And Apple iPhone? Okay. And they had taken Easter off. You see, there are people who want to wipe out God from our country too. So we're sitting in the same position in a sense as Israel is. There are many who want to get rid of anything spiritual, anything having to do with a God who's living, as they prepare their artificial intelligence to do all these miraculous things in the next 20, 30 years. But you know, God will let them go so far, just like he did in Noah's time, right? He looked down and he saw that every thought and imagination was only evil continually. and they can only go so far. I'd like to turn to Ezekiel 38, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses from there. 3 and 4, and then go down to verse 8. Now, 38 and 39, we'll be talking about Gog, and we had some lessons on chapter 39, you remember, quite a few times we turned back there. And I want to get you used to reading these different portions so that when you come to read the Old Testament, you begin to enjoy it. And even if you don't understand all of it, you get little bits and you get the part you do understand and cling to it. Now, in verse 3, it says, "Thus says the Lord God." That's always a good start, because you can believe everything after that, can't you? This is God talking. "Behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal." Here we have the Antichrist, the head of a coalition of three nations. Okay? This is where he's going to be, as I believe, when he makes his peace treaty. In verse 4, he says, "I will turn you around." Now, who's going to turn who around? God is going to turn the Antichrist around. God is still in control. As powerful as the Antichrist will be, God is more powerful. "Put hooks into your jaws and lead you out with all your army, horses, and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers, shields, all of them handling swords." Now, let's skip down to 8. "After many days you will be visited. In the latter years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel." He's talking to the Antichrist now. He's talking about him. "Which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely." Are they safe? Are they going to be safe? Or is it going to be false security? Now, I want to keep your finger right there. I'm going to quote a verse from 1 Thessalonians 5, and it talks about some things that I think are very important. "But of the days and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety," that's the part I want you to get. "For when they say peace and safety, then come a sudden destruction upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." When they say peace and safety, many people during a period, and I believe that will go for the Christians as well as the Jews, will tend to be lulled to sleep when the activity ceases or seems to cease for a while. You can imagine that. And Israel will definitely say, "Wow, we're at peace. We're at peace." And it feels so good. But the Lord says, when they say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. And then it changes the pronouns. It says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief." That's 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 5. And so you'll see that the Christian will understand if they're taught and if they hear the word of the Lord. Does that make sense? We cannot afford not to hear the word of God. We cannot afford not to hear it. Now, we'll go back to chapter 38 in Ezekiel. "You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you." Verse 10, "Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind and you will make an evil plan." God is telling Gog, the Antichrist, there's going to be thoughts come into your mind. You'll make an evil plan. "You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither barge nor gates, to take plunder, to take booty," and it goes on to describe. I want to stop a little bit. This will be sometime after the covenant is confirmed. It won't happen right away. And there's a reason for it. There is a restrainer in place. So the Antichrist will make this covenant for a 7-year period, but God will put the hooks in him at the appropriate time and put the thoughts in his mind when he's going to do the damage. We are blessed when we think of how God has supplied. We know that in Daniel 12, and we've read this before, it says at that time, the Antichrist will be planting the tents of his palace between the seas. That's the last verse of chapter 11. And the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end and no one will help him. And then the chapter 12, verse 1, at that time Michael will stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. I believe Michael's the one who's restraining. We could go back I think it's chapter 10 and find that too. I'm not trying to prove everything, but I want you to get the general picture, because nothing's going to happen fully until God says it's time for it to happen. That's the part I want to bring out. God is still in control during all this time. Will it be dangerous physically? Yes. Spiritually, it doesn't have to. If we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, we are kept by Him. He becomes our ark. We are in Christ. And I love that preposition in this case. Not just we know Him, we are in Christ, even as we've invited Christ into our hearts. And so there's a oneness that we find up here. As our Father are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us. It brings me great comfort to know that I am in Christ, and to know that you are in Christ. Most important thing that can happen. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Now Michael stands or stops his restraining when Satan is cast down from heaven, which all takes place in the middle of the 70th week. We've been over these things in the past. I say them to review so you kind of understand. From the time that the covenant is confirmed, there is 3.5 years. Before the midpoint when the great tribulation begins. Up until that time, the seals are opened. That just tells what's going to happen before the great tribulation, the first 3 seals in particular. Michael restrains. How blessed we are to have a restrainer. Would you agree? You can see, seemingly, that things are becoming more wild. Only recently have I come to know the importance of that term that the Antichrist is called the Lawless One. One of his names is the Lawless One. Makes sense, doesn't it? Because as long as there's laws, there's order. God is a God of order. He has His rules. Satan's the author of confusion. And the more confusion that can be caused, the more sin can flourish. But God is a God of order. I'd like to say His people are people of order. And so every time in my life, and I'm going to say our lives, including my wife and I, we are beginning to think of God's will for our life more than our will. And I encourage people to stay close to the Lord through the day. At that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone found written in the book. That's the last of the first verse in Daniel chapter 12. So when the great tribulation starts in the center of the 70th week, it will go until God sees fit. We've talked about this before. It'll go until that time God sees fit to cut it short. That's why it says no one knows the day nor the hour. And yet that's also why of the times and seasons, brethren, it won't overtake you as a thief. You're children of day, children of light. Okay, now I want to go back to Isaiah and see one of the most wonderful parts of this lesson. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 17. God says, also I will make justice the measuring line, righteousness the plummet. Now as He deals with these Jews who are sinful, they have signed with the Antichrist, and made their covenant and have a false security, He's going to line it up Everything he does will be just and righteous. He's a righteous judge. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. And then the most beautiful thing happens. 16. That's our key. When they are under falsehood and they've hidden themselves, the Lord says through Isaiah, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation." Anybody know what that stone would represent? Jesus. You should see the commentators that have talked about Hezekiah and different ones in there, and it just makes me sick. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Here we have a window of grace. Now, as Isaiah is prophesying, and the people are sinful, and they surely deserve everything that Christ says is going to happen, there's a window of grace here. Isaiah shares it. You'll find this happens frequently. Now, he's going to go right back in to talk about your covenant with death, and what's going to happen, and what's going to come. So, we have this window in between. Now, there are many portions of scripture that you can find that there will be judgment, and in the middle there'll be this window of grace. I remember speaking on Revelation 1 through 7. Now, I don't know if you remember, it starts out with, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and there was no more sea, and then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be their God." And this beautiful part, and he'll wipe away all tears from their eyes, there will be no more death, sorrow, or crying. And it goes on, "They that overcome shall inherit these things." And then verse 8 says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving," and it talks about they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Now the last verse of chapter 20 ends up with the lake of fire. And so you've got a narrow window of grace in between these two times. And it's so vivid. But God says it's a narrow way, doesn't he? "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to righteousness, and few there be that find it." Now here we've got a window of grace in here. Jesus is going to be recognized here as a sure foundation. You know, that window of grace is opened right now to people who want to come. But as we get closer, now I've heard you say, and I sure believe it, that things appear to be going faster and faster and faster. Would you agree with me? I don't see that merry-go-round, I'm going to call it, slowing down. But I like the King James here, and verse 16, "Whoever believes will not act hastily." Psalm 46 is prophetic. I won't go there, but it ends near the end. "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. That is our key as believers to know our God and His Son Jesus Christ. To be still. To take time. In the midst of the confusion of the world, may we trust this sure foundation. Those who believe will not act hastily. I think other translations say will not be dismayed or something like that. But I like the New King James here, will not act hastily, because I think it means a slowing down. We can slow down. We can have order to our lives, even though the world around us is in a frenzy. God will take care of every single saint, even if they're the weakest, and I consider myself there. And I say that sincerely. I'm not brave. I've been rather shy all my life. Didn't want to be a pastor. Somehow I'm here. And God has given me this message. And I'm going to trust Him to continue to be with me until the day of Jesus Christ. I have to close because time is out and I don't want to spend another week on this. There's many other verses I could take. I would like to read verse 18 though as he gets into this again in 19. Now we've had the Word of God. We've had the mercy of the Lord. For the word of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord, and now we're going to see the terror of the Lord. And you say, "Dave, this isn't terror of the Lord, it's the Antichrist. And you're right, but the Lord has allowed it, has he not? Have you seen that from what he said, I'll put hooks in your jaws, I'll put the thought in your mind? And he's justified in doing it because sin demands death. That's the message we had last week. Sin demands death. Praise God, Jesus died for our sins once and for all, so that by accepting him, we don't have to die again spiritually. Your covenant with death, this is the terror of the Lord, your covenant with death will be annulled. Your agreement with Sheol will not stand. The overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you, for morning by morning it will pass over, and by day and by night it will be a terror just to understand the report. I don't even want to get into the explanation of that. You can sense what it's saying, can't you? You can understand the meaning. Our safety lies in Jesus Christ and the assurance of our position in him. Our safety. Our spiritual safety. Eternity's a long time, isn't it? Eternity's a long time. A week ago or so, maybe it was last week, we had some young girl sing, I surrender all. That's the answer, isn't it? I surrender all. I give you everything, Lord. These things, the things of earth, will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Shall we stand as we are dismissed with a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank you tonight for your presence. And even though there are many that couldn't be here, Lord, we thank you for the ones who came out. And I pray we might be encouraged to give our all to you. Lord, that our security will be found in Jesus Christ. That we will take advantage of this window of grace where the invitation still goes out. While a restrainer is still restraining, before you send strong delusions, Lord, because of our sinful belief. And yet, praise God, your mercy endures forever. So, Lord, we just commit our hearts and our lives into your hands. And through these coming days, keep us faithful, Lord, until the day of Jesus Christ. Dismiss us now with the fullness of your blessing. We give you all the praise and the thanks. In Jesus' name, they answered and said, Amen.